Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Always that moment where I go, did I remember to turn on the microphone? I did. And good morning to everyone who joins us on the live stream this morning who cannot hear me if I don't turn on that microphone. We're pleased to welcome you to worship this morning as well here at St. John's on this, the baptism of our Lord Sunday. The announcements, as always, were before you as you were gathering, and some are also included in the bulletin for this morning. So I hope you've had the opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. The other is just the reminder of during the year of 2026, we're going to be focusing our worship and some of our educational opportunities on the Book of Psalms, and an invitation to all members of the congregation that if you have a psalm that is your favorite psalm and you go, I'd like to hear that focused on for a Sunday, tell me, and we'll do that. So long as you don't pick more than 52, which is the number of Sundays in a year, I should be able to accommodate most requests. But since there's 150 psalms, the odds might be that we'll overrun, but probably not. Also, if there are stories behind those psalms that you would like to share, we're thinking of trying to do some audiovisual and social media posts as well around this year with the psalms, and we'd be happy to include you in some of that material as well. So please make note of that. And the very, very important announcement of this time of year, annual reports. Those who owe annual reports to the church office, we're hoping to have them in by the 23rd of January. And that will give us a week to kind of put things together before Rob goes to someplace sunnier for a little while. I can't persuade him to not do that, so we have to work our deadlines around that very important moment, and he assures us he's not counting. I think it's 20 days now. But if we can have material in by the 23rd, that would be very helpful. And finally, the session met yesterday morning, and the session summary is here with Cynthia.
Good morning. Session met at 10 a.m. yesterday, and Reverend Adams constituted the court with prayer and a reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, which tells us to run our spiritual race with endurance, shred hindrances and sins, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and live lives that are worthy of our calling as Christians. Session thanks Keppel Barrett and Laurel Adams, who have been working diligently with our insurance company to try to reduce the cost of insurance. Their efforts have resulted in our premiums being reduced from $19,500 to $17,700, so we thank them. The annual meeting will be held following the service on Sunday, March 1st, and Reverend Adams just mentioned reports to the office for the 23rd, please. Session considered some of the areas for the proposed 2026 budget, and we are hoping to be able to finalize the budget by the February session meeting, which will allow us to present it to you at the annual meeting. The office will also be implementing a new software package for the accounting this year. Communion dates for 2026 will be the beginning of Lent on February 15th, Maundy Thursday on April 2nd, June 14th, World Communion Sunday on October 4th, and the first Sunday in Advent on November 29th. See how quickly we just got right through the year there? Susan McDonald reported that our facilities continue to be very busy. Our thanks are extended to two of our pickleball groups who donated their fees back to the church when we canceled their session for the Christmas dinner. Trish Brown reported that the Robbie Burns Coffee House and Dessert Night will take place at 6:30 on January 31st. Tickets are $20 and will be available in the McClellan Room after the service each Sunday up until the date or at the office. This is going to be a very entertaining evening of Scottish music, treats, and fun. John Adams shared the roll report that will be placed in the annual report for you. Please watch for a date for a Valentine's Pastoral Care event that we will hold at McConnell Manor. Everyone is welcome to attend. Session agreed to give St. Andrew's Martintown 20 of our hymn books as they move to the same version we are currently using. We were fortunate to have enough copies for them, certainly more than we need. Dan Plant reported that we have upgraded to the new Microsoft and are searching for a Canadian company to host our website. The tech team are hoping to purchase a digital snake, and you're going to have to talk to Dan and Alex about that because I don't know what that is, which will give them expanded opportunities for more microphones at the front of the sanctuary. Three new microphones were purchased at Christmas time, some from Long and McQuaid. Reverend Adams explained to us that some of the organ pipes have shifted, possibly due to vibrations in the church from the construction, so they are going to be fixed in the near future. Session discussed the process for bringing on four new elders, and Reverend Adams and I will approach the nominees next week. Thank you.
As we enter into worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign to us that Christ is the light of the world and that we, who are his faithful people, seek to walk in the light of the Lord. As we come into worship this morning, we gather with the words of the call to worship. As is our custom, the call to worship is a responsive call. And I would invite you now to stand in the presence of our Lord. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
God of glory thunders.
The voice of from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for the faith, hope, and love that you have given to us. Through the blessing of our baptism, claiming us as your beloved children, calling us to the path of discipleship, revealing to us the light of your glory. By the power of your Holy Spirit poured out upon us in baptism, help us to follow you with faith, to trust in you with hope, and to serve you with love this day and always. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 291 in the Book of Praise, Thou Whose Almighty Word, hymn 291 in the Book of Praise.
Thank you.
news and glorious things. In faith, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screens. God of glory, we confess that we have not sought your face. We adore the high and mighty and ignore your humble servant. We act with prejudice and partiality and fail to share your love for all. Forgive us, God of grace. Pour out the power of your Spirit and renew us in our calling. To show the wonder of your love, may Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, the good news has been passed down by prophets and priests. Everyone who believes in Christ receives forgiveness in his name. Wherever you are on your journey in life, you are redeemed, forgiven, and loved. Thanks be to God. And as God has loved and forgiven us, so too we are to be forgiving one of another. And I invite you now to turn to those around you and to share with each other a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is 183, Christ, when for us you were baptized. Let us stand to sing. I have any wee ones hiding in the pews this morning. Laura's the smallest I've got. But good morning. As we gather this morning and we start a new year, how many had to go out and buy a new calendar to keep track of things? Some of us still go out and get that paper thing that hangs on the wall. It's hard to break that habit of not writing something down and just trusting your phone to always tell you where you need to be at the right time. In our household, it's kind of that week in between thing between Christmas and New Year's. We never give calendars as presents because you have to pay full price. But if you go the week after, you know, they're all on sale because, well, the year's almost here and they're probably even cheaper down at the mall today. Don't go, but they probably are. And I was thinking about calendars as I was getting ready this morning, because we have a calendar here in the church too, don't we? And this is the busy time in the church calendar as well. Now, there's the purely practical stuff, right? The preparing for all of the Christmas services and Advent and then getting ready for the annual meeting, all of that's busy work. But there's also the calendar that hangs around the minister's neck every week. I don't know if you ever knew that was a calendar or not, but it is. The liturgical vestments of the church, the stoles that ministers wear, often are color-coded for the year. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were in the season of Advent, and So Advent is this stole, usually. I still stick with the traditional color purple for Advent. A, because I've got this stole and I think it's really, really nice. I'm not changing. But so I'd like my purple Advent stole, but some churches celebrate Advent as being blue, and many, many years ago, some members of a former congregation gave me this stole to wear during Advent. So Advent is the season of blue or purple. As I say, this is the traditional color, the purple color. Purple in the church is the color of penitence. And so Advent, the 4 weeks before the feast of Christmas, Lent, the 6 weeks before the feast of Easter, are times when we're in preparation, and they are considered, traditionally they were considered penitential seasons. So there's one page of the calendar. I don't have a really nice Christmas stole yet. Guess it's probably not going to happen. But I do have this one, because the color for, oh, we made the change. There was a big discussion in the office whether we were going to stay gold for one more week or go to green. Gold is the color of all of the feasts of the Christian year, so and other special events. So it's the color that we would wear during the season of Christmas and Epiphany as the wise men come, and this morning the baptism of Jesus, all gold times. We also wear gold for baptism, grapes for communion, that's chalice for communion, wafer bread for communion, wheat, and marriage. So it's our celebration stole. And then there's all the rest of the year. If you were old enough to remember the first season of Gilligan's Island, the theme song of Gilligan's Island gave all of the people who were on the boat, Gilligan, the skipper, to a millionaire and his wife, a movie star, and in the first season it was, and all the rest, not the professor and Marianne. The first season it was, and all the rest. So, and all the rest. Green. Like our slides. Slides also match. The slides and I should match. If the slides and I don't match, something has gone terribly wrong when the minister was getting dressed. But the green, which is in the church known as, it's a terrible name, ordinary time. But nothing in the church should be ordinary, should it? But it's not ordinary in that sense of the word, you see. Anybody ever figure skate when you were younger? Do I have any? No figure skaters in the house? Figure skating fans? Remember when they used to have the two, the marks were divided into two? There was the performance side, and there were the ordinals, and they used to have to do set figures on the ice. It's ordinary in the word of ordinal, meaning the tried and the true. It's the time in the church that we teach. We teach who Jesus is. We teach what it means to be followers of Jesus. And we hope that as we do that teaching, that we will grow in our faith. So green is the color of growth. And that is the calendar. Oh, there's only one color I didn't bring up, and that's red, which we only wear one Sunday every year. And it's on Pentecost Sunday with the gift of the Spirit, and there's a red. But we seldom wear it, and I forgot it. But in this busy season, right, because we've gone from purple in Advent to gold in Christmas and after to today and next week, we're going to be in green. all of that thing, that busy time of the year, it's a good time to remind ourselves that not only are the stoles and the liturgical vestments in the church colorful and pretty, but they actually are ways that we communicate what is happening within our churches and within our faith development. So thank you for listening to that this morning. And as we prepare for God's word, let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 4. Here is my servant, who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and on the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The responsive Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The water sits
enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
And the epistle reading is from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Our hymn is number 126 in the Book of Praise. On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry. Hymn number 126, or as it appears before you on the screen. And this morning's gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, reading Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Let us listen for God's word to his people, as it is given in Matthew chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During this past holiday season, I suspect all of us have had the opportunity to be out in social gatherings, and you may have had the opportunity to meet someone that you did not know. Someone at a work party or a community gathering, maybe even on Christmas Eve here at the church, who was here with someone else, but you didn't know them. Someone that was a complete stranger until that evening. And if you think about that first encounter or any such first encounter that we have with someone who is a stranger, you no doubt spend some time attempting to learn more about them. Where do they work, or were they born locally, or have they moved to town more recently? How do they know the person who introduced you to them? Anything that makes those little points of contact, that little bit of commonality of our lives that draws us into a shared story together. And likewise, in these first several weeks of a new liturgical season, each year, after the Magi have disappeared back into the desert sands and the gifts are all gone and the Christmas decorations have been returned to their boxes for another year, we spend time here in worship, meeting Jesus again for the first time, learning who Jesus is and how we relate to him and he to us. What is our point of contact? What is the commonality of our shared story? And that commonality of that shared story all begins today, waist deep in water, in the Jordan River, as Jesus comes to be baptized. The person who introduces us to Jesus is John the Baptist. And, well, this crazy talking bird. John first. John tells us that this is an important person who has come out into the desert to be baptized. No, not important. Exceptional. John greets Jesus amid all of the crowd who have come out to hear him and to be baptized by him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John kind of sounds like he's a guy of Italian descent from New York City, doesn't he? "You want to be baptized by me? And baptize, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Right? You can hear Goodfellas there. It's an acknowledgement that John, this great and charismatic preacher, is not worthy to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God as Jesus comes near. It harkens back to those words that are in John's mouth way back when in the season of Advent when we first met him. "I baptize with water, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I am, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This encounter, then, in the Jordan River is similar in a way to meeting those special guests at a party and walking away and commenting to someone later, "You know, that guy, he was pretty important, but he was so easy to talk to and so interested in what I had to say. He was just like us." And then after the baptism is complete, as Jesus is rising out of the water, Matthew continues the story. "Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" Again, little notes, or perhaps not so little notes, help us to build that understanding of who Jesus is and how he is connected to us, although we may not quite understand all that is happening in all of its fullness in this first encounter. But the clues are all there for us, if we can see them. Here at his baptism, Jesus' human greatness is proclaimed by John the Baptist, and the divinity of Christ is proclaimed by the Holy Spirit descending upon him, and that voice of God speaking across the water, declaring that Jesus is indeed God's beloved Son. And somewhere in that soggy moment of grace in which incarnation and divinity meet, we see Jesus, and not just Jesus, but our very selves. In this moment, we discover a Jesus who is just like us. This is the moment where we see fully what sets the God of Scripture apart from all of the other deities of the surrounding cultures of ancient times. The Hebrew Scriptures are quite clear that the children of God did not exist in a vacuum. They were surrounded by peoples and nations who each following their own deity, other deities. And even those deities vied for the loyalty of the children of God too. The Ten Commandments in Scripture are given in part to separate the children of God from all of those other people in whose midst they dwell. When Joshua led the children of God into the promised land and they were beginning to settle and to establish themselves in the land, Joshua presents the people of God with a choice. He says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors, whether the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house," Joshua says, "we will serve the Lord." And what we know about all of these other gods and deities that existed out there in the consciousness of nations and peoples who surrounded the followers of the one true God was this: that their gods were distant and aloof. They were gods that had to be appeased and mollified. They were gods who were not concerned about the people who worshiped them, but who exploited them and lashed out against them more often than not. But God, this God, the one true God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and generations beyond them, the God we hear this morning speaking from the clouds, embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, is neither distant nor capricious. This is the God who creates in joy and goodness and who longs to restore creation. This is the God who lives in relationship with Jesus. This is my Son, the Beloved. And this is the God whom we meet in Jesus. This is the God who we meet in the waters of baptism and who we discover is interested and engaged in our lives, who listens to our prayers with interest, and who is just like us. This is a God with whom we can live in a relationship and with whom our relationship can grow and deepen as we come to know God more clearly and understand the depth of God's love for us. And it all begins this day with a dripping, wet Jesus who meets us in the waters of baptism. Thanks be to God for his presence with us this day and always. Amen. God gives us not only Genesis life, but the new life that is born of repentance, forgiveness, and resurrection. Therefore, with generous hearts, let us give back a portion of what has already been given to us in our baptismal covenant with God and each other. Let us give to God the gifts of our lives and the wealth of our resources as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Great and saving God, you have gathered us into one baptism, regardless of our backgrounds or conditions. Therefore, we praise you with our tithes and offerings. May they join with others to become a mighty river, bringing your peace and healing to the nations. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And always on this Sunday, where we celebrate and remember the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, we also take this opportunity to remember our own baptisms, to give thanks for them, and to recommit ourselves to acts of discipleship and service. brothers and sisters in Christ, the promises of God's grace are signed and sealed to us in baptism. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. This promise is made visible in the waters of baptism. Water cleanses, purifies, refreshes, and sustains. Jesus Christ is our living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. I invite you now, therefore, to remember God's promise, to turn away from all that is evil, and to reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ and your commitment to Christ's church. Would you please stand? And let us say together the renunciations and affirmations as they will appear before us. Trusting in the gracious promises of God, do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world?
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
God being my helper, I will.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. And as we join together in the prayers of the people today, there is a response when you hear the words, we have put on Christ, your response is, in him we have been baptized, alleluia, alleluia, as it appears before you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O holy and gracious God, for the gift of water. In the beginning of creation, your Spirit moved over the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the sea into the freedom of the promised land. And in the river Jordan, John baptized our Lord, and your Spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has become for us the living water, frees us from sin and death, and opens the way to life everlasting. We thank you, O God, for the gift of baptism. In the waters of baptism, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death, raised to share in his resurrection, and are being renewed each day through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have put on Christ. In him we have been baptized. Alleluia, alleluia. Pour out upon us and your whole church the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that all who have passed through the waters of baptism might be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We have put on Christ. In him we have been baptized. Alleluia, alleluia. To God be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we boldly pray in the manner that he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us close our worship with the closing praise, Arise, Your Light Has Come, number 712 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before us on the screens. Now let us lead a life worthy of our calling to which we have been called, with humility and goodness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. And may the peace of God go with you. May you in every way be made whole and kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.